horrible. Lord, you're welcome to this house of praise. For your righteous, glorious, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this house of praise. For you're righteous, you're glorious, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. Lord, you're welcome to this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this house of praise. For you're righteous, glorious, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this house of praise. For you're righteous, glorious, worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome to this holy place. Lord, you're welcome to this holy place. Lord, you're welcome into this house of praise. For your righteous, glorious, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place. For you're righteous, glorious, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're welcome into this holy place.
And as we normally do, we greet each other, and in the back, the offering plate is.
Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up.
Give him the
highest. His praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, 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 he is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, 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 he is worthy to be lifted up. To be lifted up, give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, 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 he is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, 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 he is worthy to be lifted up. His praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yes, lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, oh, lift him up. lift him up. Oh, lift him up.
Come on and lift him up. Give him the highest praise.
For he is worthy to be lifted up.
Give him
the highest praise. For he is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, worthy, worthy. He is worthy to be lifted up. Worthy, worthy, worthy. He is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up,
oh,
lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yeah, lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yeah, lift him up.
Give him
the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up.
Can we do that right now? Can we just lift our hands and praise and worship unto Him? Lord, we're here to give You glory, to give You honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we thank You, we honor You for Your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to say a big thank you to Brother Jay Grimm for stepping in on Sunday night and taking care of Financial Peace University for us, leading that, and had great reports of everything that happened. So thank you, Brother Jay, for being willing to do that. And for those of you that made it through the Financial Peace, and hopefully you are starting to have Financial Peace if you didn't have it already. And I hope that it was a benefit to you and that you were able to learn from it, to glean from it. I do want to remind you, this coming Sunday night, well, there is, if you would like to know more about our church management software, Breeze, and how to set up events, how to go on and or go into the system. You can help us in taking attendance. You can help us in setting up events, putting things on the calendar. It's basically the software that we use for the church, for the inner workings of the church. We'll be putting things on it later on in the evening during our department heads meeting for those that are part of the departments. But if you would like to learn how to use it and you want to know ways that you can even give online, you can set up your bank account, you can set up a debit card, you can set up, there's ways that you can give via online, and many of you are taking advantage of that. And so there's just a lot to it. It's a very robust software. There's a lot to it, but we'll try to keep it as simple as possible. I know there's more that I need to learn concerning it. And so from 5 to 6 on Sunday night, there will be the Breeze Management Church Software Training. And then from 6 o'clock on, those that are part of department heads, we want you to stay so that you can be a part of our department head meeting. Looking forward to that. And then the following Sunday, which would be a week from this coming Sunday night, we are going to kick off some split session teaching, if you will. Men, you will have your separate session, and those 13 above will be a part of that men's session. And then ladies, you will have a ladies' session. Those 13 above will be a part of that ladies' session. And then we'll also have a children's session happen. All three of these sessions will be happening simultaneously here in the church building. And we have ordered the curriculum and the stuff to train. And the teaching is specifically geared towards those demographics. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And that is happening a week from this coming Sunday night. Other events are probably being, not yet, but they were before service. So if you were here before service, I know because I put them up there and they were scrolling. To let you know what is happening, when there is a youth rally happening, a youth revival happening this coming Friday night at Life Church of Rock Run there in Joliet, and so we encourage you to go and be a part of that. The general youth president, Brother Josh Carson, is going to be preaching in that service, and so we encourage you, if you can, to go and be a part of those special services. So there's a lot happening. The months of April and May are pretty busy. A lot of youth events, it seems like, as we near the end of the school year, some activity in those areas starts to happen. And then there's also camps coming up in the summer. So if you would like to go and be a part of camps, the applications are downloadable. Matter of fact, I believe you have to do it that way. You have to register online if you would like to go to the camp. So those of you that would, I know some like to help in the camp, some like to send their kids to camp, and so on and so forth. So we encourage you to go on the Illinois District website, and you can have access to the resources there. You can know all the dates, what's happening when, and should be able to download the applications to get individuals in those things. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer, and so I'll ask if there's anybody who would like to express a need. Why don't you slip up your hand, and we'll call upon you, and you can express it to the church. Sister Christy, I see your hand at the back. All right, and what was her name again? Shiloh. All right, let's remember Shiloh in prayer. Also, Daniel, a friend of Sister Carrie, his father passed away, and so let's remember that family in prayer, certainly, situation there, Sister Darlene Grimm. All right. Let's remember and continue to pray for Ron Williams, certainly, neighbor. Good. All right, sister. Yes. All right, certainly. Sister Carrie, see your hand. All right. All right. Could have been, certainly. Now let's remember that situation, certainly. Sister Sue. All right, very serious. All right, let's remember it. It's Marlis, correct? Marlis, let's remember Marlis. All right. Certainly. All right, let's remember Marlis. Brother Al. All right. Certainly. Remember that situation. Also, as you remember, young man by the name of Derek Killey. Last year, I think it was at Sandwich Fair, his daughter and Kinsley are friends at school, and so they wanted to hang out together at the fair. And so I got to know Derek a little bit and talked to him a little bit, and then we've seen each other at different venues. And we had a spring concert for the kids last night at Sandwich High School, and then afterwards, a large majority of people from that went over to Johnny K's for a little bit of eats. And so he came over to the table, and I was sitting there with the family, and he started asking questions about the church, and I began to answer the questions for him and got him some information and said, man, we'd love to have you come. And he said, well, what's Pentecostalism all about? And I took a few moments. I said, but you know what? I said, you really need to come and experience it. And so let's remember Derek Killey, and he was very sincere. He wasn't just trying to make small talk. He was sincere in what he was saying and requesting. And so I got him information, gave him my own personal information, information of the church. And so let's continue to remember Derek in prayer. So, all right. Anybody else? All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. Lord, you're working in so many ways we do not even understand or see, Lord. But we trust you, God, and we thank you for the opportunity to be used, God, to impact and influence others' lives, God, to be a witness in word and deed to the world around about us. Lord, I, I thank you, God. I'm so honored to be a servant, God, to follow your will and your way. Help me to do more, God, to see my need, God, to be more involved in your work and in your kingdom. God, I thank you for the opportunities that I have. God, Lord, I pray that you would continue to minister these situations. Lord, for Ron Williams, Lord, we continue to cry out. God, use the Grimms, God, to be instrumental in his life. God, that ultimately you would receive spiritual healing. God, to feel your hand of provision and power at work in his life. God, I thank you, Lord. I worship you for this young lady, Shiloh, God, dealing with the terminal diagnosis. Lord, we know that you are a healer, God, that you're a help and a strength that we can depend upon and trust in. Lord, how we love you, Jesus. How we praise you, God, for Daniel and his family, God, Sister Carrie's mother and stepfather. God, we can cry out unto you for each and every need, each and every circumstance, Lord, for Jessica Romero. God, you're able, God, to make a way out of no way. God, you're able to open a door, God, and provide employment, God, that we can do so for their family. God, I thank you that we can trust in you, Lord, for Derek Killing. God, I believe, God, it was divine appointment, Lord. Let it work, God. Let it move, God. Let it touch his heart and life, God. He would find himself, God, coming to you, God, and finding your peace and your help and your strength. How we love you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Brother Bill Kellum, God, that healing would take place in his life, God. Restoration, physical need, God. We believe and trust in your power, God, and your ability to work wonders, Lord, for Marlis. God, we cry out, God, on her behalf, God. Lead her to you, God. Deliver her from addiction, God. Let her find your help and your strength. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God. How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. You got it back there, Brother Jay? All right. He's gonna. There we are. We are continuing tonight. I know we took a little break last week, and but we are back onto the subject, if you will. We're dealing with faith, truth, and reason, talking essentially about the compatibility of science and the Bible. And I realize I've known this from the onset. This may not be your particular cup of tea, but it is mine. And it's kind of, a lot of times Wednesdays are my prep days for Wednesday night Bible study, and so although I'm reading and I'm putting thoughts together, I kind of bring it all together on Wednesday and put it into a PowerPoint and provide that during the teaching session. But it's probably a good thing that that the kids are at school and the wife's at work, because they would probably think I'm a little bit weird. Because I found myself today as I was studying and I was putting my thoughts together, and I was getting giddy about some of the stuff, and as I was seeing it, and I was doing the whole, you know, like rubbing my head, and I was getting up out of my chair and been like, and like pacing around the kitchen. And this is my cup of tea. So if it doesn't excite you as much, well, that's your own fault. But this is what it's doing for me. Not that I've ever doubted, or I shouldn't say that I've ever doubted. I think in our humanity, there's always some element of doubt that creeps in from time to time. But what it's done for me is it's further solidified some things for me. It's further helped me to see, and especially in our day and age, in society in which we live, and the way that it is trying to take pretty much the mainstream and take the mainstream away from what should be the main thing, and that is God. And so as I'm doing the study, and I've been talking to some pastor friends, and I keep recommending this book and say, man, you guys got to read this. This thing has changed my life. But it's obviously it's nothing in comparison to the Bible, but it is, from a scientific standpoint, it's helping me understand more about the Bible. It's helping me see things that, and I'm not demeaning anybody or my teaching thus far, but it's helping me see stuff that I've never been taught. And that's not and I'm not trying to. Maybe I should back up. I realize that a lot of this material is coming from a book, but when I compare it to the book, and I begin to see more from the book, that's what I'm all about. If I'm going to read something and I'm going to spend some time and study and preparation, I want it to add to, if you will, not in the sense of giving it what it doesn't have, but in the sense of helping me understand. In the sense of me being able to rightly divide the word of truth, if you will. To see where, even in our day and age, there are discoveries being made. I'm going to show you this towards the end of tonight's lesson. That just 2 years ago at Northwestern University here in Illinois, a discovery that was made, and you probably didn't hear much about it, but you should have. And I'm going to just, if nothing else, you'll have to stay awake for that. But we're continuing in the study called Faith, Reason, and Truth. Let there be light. This is a quote from the gentleman who wrote the book. For most of its history, science was greatly in the dark about light. I just liked the quote because I thought it was kind of funny. For most of its history, science was greatly in the dark about light. Subject for tonight is let there be light. I want to draw your attention to a passage of scripture. It's in 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. If we say God is light. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, I wore my corduroy jacket, so I'm going to get real nerdy on you. And we're going to do a little, you know, there's going to be like some Star Trek stuff in here just for a little bit. But just stay with me. Some of y'all got excited about that. Others of you did not. But just stay with me, and I hope to help you understand how significant. In our day and age, they are making discoveries that I don't know how you can read stuff like I've read concerning these amazing truths that science has discovered. And I don't know how you can look anywhere else other than the Bible that to see explanation for. Because they don't have explanation. They have hypotheses. They have assertions. They have theories. Stay with me. It's going to get exciting. Who am I? Let's play a little riddle. Who am I? You might already know the answer to this. I'm the impenetrable, say that real fast, boundary to the cosmos. I am unaffected by point of view. It's the same whether I'm right here on Earth or whether I am miles away in space. I'm unaffected by point of view. I am terrestrial and extraterrestrial all at the same time. I am in this world, but not of this world. I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. I am within a vacuum, an immutable, indisputable constant of the universe. Anybody know what I am? No? No guessers? Takers? God? Light? I am light. I am light. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And hopefully I'll show you how that's true. We interact with it every day. Light is something that we are very accustomed to, but it's truly not of this world. It's truly something that is wild as terrestrial. We interact with it on the earth. It's in the world, but it's not truly of the world. It is an immutable, indisputable constant. In a vacuum, light travels at what constant speed? Anybody know this? Number one. 299,792.458 kilometers per second. Number two, 186,286.397 miles per second, or 874,568 times faster than sound, or four all of the above. Here's your chance to vote. Four, three. Any twos or ones? All right, I'm going to make is everybody put your hand up and vote one. Just one of the four. Just 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'm going to help you. I'm really going to help you. It's just 1, 2, 3, or 4. You know what? It really doesn't matter because you're all right. It is all of the above. Nothing else. I was going to make the quiz easy for you. It's immutable. It's indisputable. In a vacuum, light travels at this speed. It's measurable. They understand it. Light travels at all these. They're all the figures of the same thing. You realize that it travels 874,568 times the speed of sound? And we were amazed when Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier. But light travels almost 900,000 times faster than sound. How many of you ever witnessed this? Anybody give me an example of where you've witnessed that light travels faster than sound? Fireworks. Fireworks. Lightning. Shooting guns. Maybe if there's a sound associated with that, but how is it? Yeah, could be the case. But we know it's observable. We understand that light travel. Now, in the earliest estimations, it was 10 times faster. They were a little bit shy. They basically had got, this was, you know, they got two guys were on one hill, and, you know, each on a different hill, and they would open and close a lantern, and they would try to measure the distance, and they came up to the conclusion that it was 10 times faster. Well, they were about 890,000 times short. Because now it's measurable. Now they understand this is how fast light travels. All right, stay with me. See? 4, all the above. There you go. Here's a question for you. Do we inhabit the tardion realm or the tachyon realm? Anybody want to guess? Do we, as objects of mass, matter? We have matter. We are matter, therefore we have mass, I should say. Do we inhabit the tardion realm or the tachyon realm? Why would you say your mom inhabits a tardion realm? Because she was late to church. That's actually where the word comes from. Tardy, to be late, slow. A tardy ion is where it comes from. It's tardy in reference to the speed of light. Tachyons are different. Tardions, okay, here's the understanding. Do you travel slower than the speed of light? Yes. Is there anybody here that can travel faster than the speed of light? No. Therefore, we would all be a part of the tardion. We are slow ions. We cannot travel faster than light, and therefore, we are tardions. That is the realm in which we exist. I told you I was going to get Star Trek on you, so stay with me. Like Klingons, USS Enterprise, just stay with me. We're going somewhere. Tardions, we are a part of the tardion realm. We are made up of tardy ions. We are slower than the speed of light. Now, our gossip may travel pretty quick. But we, as objects that have or matter and therefore have mass, we cannot. It is impossible for us to travel at the speed of light. It's impossible. Can't do it. It would take an infinite amount of energy. We're going to see that in just a few moments. Let's talk about these tardions. Tardions cannot break the luminous barrier of the speed of light from beneath. They're below the speed of light, so they can never break the barrier beneath. That luminous barrier of the speed of light is something that a tardion can never break through. However, stay with me. For a tardion, time slows down as it approaches the speed of light. The faster it gets, the slower it becomes.
stay with me. I tell you, I'm going to get real geeky on you for a few moments. So these subatomic particles that make up tardions, that they can get to, they accelerate them in particle accelerators. And this is what they found. Now, this is proven. This is scientifically proven. I'm not just, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm not. This is scientifically proven. You can search it. For a tardion traveling at 99.999% of the speed of light, a second stretches into 1.5 days. Time stretches. As it gets closer to the speed of light, time stretches. And a second becomes a day and a half. Why are you looking at me like I'm strange? Did not Peter say a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day? Stay with me. Is there a question? If you were able to travel, approach the speed of light, we can't even come close to approaching the speed of light. Here's the thing. According to Einstein's theory of relativity, we would have to increase in mass so proportionally to energy, it would not be possible for us to ever travel at the speed of light. We couldn't do it. Stay with me. I'll show that to you through his... I know I'm getting really nerdy, but just stay with me. I promise you it's good. I promise you it gets better. This is confirmed by meticulous observation of fast-moving subatomic particles. They can observe this. It's provable. It's not just some quack thought. They can show it. They can visualize it in particle accelerators. They can show it. An infinite amount of energy would be needed to propel a tardion, which we are, to the speed of light. Couldn't happen. Can't do it. We can't travel that fast. In our present state. That's a little clue. In our present state, you're bound by time. On the other hand, tachyons are hypothetical. They can't observe them. It's kind of like dark energy and dark matter that we talked about 2 weeks ago. They're circumstantial evidence that they exist because there has to be an opposite to a tardion. But here's what tachyons hypothetically are in the scientific realm. Stay with me. Tachyons are hypothetical entities that cannot break the luminous barrier of the speed of light from above. They're faster than the speed of light. And you can't slow them down to the speed of light. They're faster than the speed of light, move in the opposite direction of tardions. Essentially, they are going backwards in time. I know. Stay with me. I know. I think I'm getting all mystical and science fiction on you. This is science. Hypothetically. If it exists on this side of time, it has to exist on the other side of time. Tachyons, what they assert, or hypothetically, they are not bound by time. An infinite amount of energy would be needed to slow a tachyon down to the speed of light. Just like it would take an infinite amount of energy to take a tardion and accelerate it to the speed of light, it would take an infinite amount of energy to take a tachyon and slow it down to the speed of light. So light creates that barrier, which neither of these pass in the physical sense. I think some of you might have a clue where I'm going. So let's take light, known in the physics world as a luxon. It's a particle of light. A particle of light, which travels at the speed of light. If you thought the other was crazy, wait till you hear this. According to scientists, a luxon, which travels at the speed of light, therefore at all those four that we put, or the three that we put up there earlier, kilometers per second, got all that? A particle of light, which travels at the speed of light, time slows to a stop. In light, time doesn't flow. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Light particles traveling at the speed of light slow to a stop. Time does not exist. Light and light alone inhabits a realm where past, present, and future exist all together and at once. This we have heard from the beginning, that God is light. He knows the end from the beginning. He is eternal. There is no such thing as past, present, and future. We think in linear terms because we are finite beings and that's all our brain can understand. But God exists outside of time. He is not a denizen of time. He does not inhabit time. He is beyond time. He was there before time began. He has always been and will always be. God is light, and according to scientists, light, there is no such thing as time because past, present, and future exist all together in one. Yet we interact with it daily. The lack of it will cause disorders. Did you know that there is a verifiable disorder called SAD? We all start to get it this time of year. When we're talking about snow in the middle of April, we all get sad. It's a serious disorder. It's called seasonal affective disorder. It comes, it changes your mood because of a lack of certain vitamins in your body. You know how they treat it? You know where you get vitamin D from? Light. Oh boy, now we're going to get fun. So, this guy you might have heard of came up with this theory, and this equation is pretty famous in physics, probably one of the most famous equations in all of physics. It's E equals MC squared. Anybody know what that means? Do you know what the E stands for? Energy equals matter or mass. Energy is equal to mass or matter times C or the speed of light squared. Okay, go back and, okay, let's do a little math since you're having so much fun with science. Let's do a little math. If there's an equal sign in the middle of the equation, that must mean, according to mathematics, that one side is equal to the other side, right? So that energy and mass are equal given these conditions. If mass can travel at the speed of light squared, it would equal energy. If energy was slowed down, it could equal matter or mass. Is that not true? According to that, is this not a verifiable equation in science? You don't know. Well, read up on it. You can find out that it is. It is a verifiable equation in physics. E equals MC squared. Now, mass and energy are both different manifestations of the same thing. That's what he said, essentially. Is that math and energy are essentially manifestations of the same thing. This was revolutionary in physics because everybody always thought that you can't compare apples and oranges. Energies are apples and matter or mass is oranges, and you can't compare them. And Einstein comes on the scene and says, wait a second. I can show you that they're both manifestations of the same thing. An apple can become an orange and an orange can become an apple. And he revolutionized physics with this equation. Say, well, what does that have to do with me? Why are we in science class tonight, Pastor? Get back to the Bible. show me where all this means something. Well, stay with me. So mass can become pure energy, and pure energy can become mass. According to E equals MC squared. Flesh and blood can become light, and light then can become flesh and blood. We just made a quantum leap, but according to this, that's exactly what it says. That flesh and blood can become matter, can become energy or light can become matter. Now here's the thing. This is a crazy thing. They can observe this. Scientists can actually see this happening. This is where I got up from the table and started rubbing my head. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is observable? This is scientifically proven? And I started researching. I found out it is. There is, in the field of physics, there are these things called paranihilation and paracreation. And I began to read it, and I got giddy. I was like the kid that figured out the Rubik's Cube. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I can't believe this stuff actually exists. Why did no one tell me about this? Just as a flashback, I wish I'd have known this stuff when I was in college or in high school physics class, and I could have walked in, and when the teacher asked me why I was tardy, I could have told him because I'm a tardion. But as I begin to read about this paracreation and paranihilation, I thought, whoa, this is crazy. This actually happens? And it does. In paranihilation, an electron collides head-on with a positron, its antiparticle, and the two tardions annihilate and become light. They can see this, y'all. That's Southern, for it happens. This is observable. An electron and a positron, they collide them together in these particle accelerators, and when they hit head-on, they annihilate. It's called paranihilation and light. And then in paracreation, light collides with light and forms tardions. Luxons, light particles collide with light particles, and the result is an electron and a positron. So energy collides with energy and forms matter. Where it gets good. 1 John 1:5, God is light. Genesis 1:3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Many of us know this. And God said, how did this happen? How did he create the heavens and the earth? How did this God who exists outside of time, how did this God who is light, the Bible says, how did he start all of this into motion? They can observe it, y'all. I said it again. That's how excited I am. They can see it. Light collides with light and matter is formed. In the beginning, light said, let there be light. The origin of creation. Right there in the Bible, light said, let there be light. Energy and energy matter. And God said, and God said, and God said. Host of heaven was created by the breath of your mouth. Because light said, let there be light. And the fundamental building block of all matter is light! But let's believe this Charles Darwin dude. Let's believe this finite being who is held within the realm of time and space. And let's discount a God who is not within the realm of time and space. They can see it! They can view it happening! And how they can see that and not go, oh my Lord! This is Genesis. This is the Genesis of the universe right here. As you can tell, I'm a little excited. If my neighbors could see into my house, they would have thought I was a crazy guy today. I was almost doing little Austin stuff, man. I was like, man, this is awesome. This is wonderful. There's so much about the cosmos that you, like that. They believe that they can see the aura from the beginning. That's what they believe. But here's the thing. Oh, man, I got 12 minutes. Stay with me. There's another in the beginning. Look in the Bible. There's another in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Stay with me. Some of y'all are smiling because you know where this is going. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. How did that happen? Wait, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. How did all this stuff happen? This is how. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning, this God that created the heavens and the earth, this God who is light, spoke and said, let there be light. But there was also in the beginning the same with God, the Word which was God, which was also light. And the Word became flesh. Light and light. Do you not realize that what happened in the womb of Mary was the same thing that happened at the beginning, the origin of the universe? That in the womb of Mary, light and light came together and matter was formed. And Jesus could say, I am the light of the world. Oh, yes, He was. Do you not? It is so, and that's why I read this stuff, and I'm like, you scientists, how can you ever not espouse to the Bible? It is so spot on. It makes you look like idiots. Professing themselves to become wise, they became fools and changed the glory. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let there be light. Look at what Jesus said. I just referenced it. Then spake Jesus again in the saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wait a second. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're not talking about physical life, because those people looking at you and hearing you, they got physical life. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The light of life. Light. There is eternity in all of us. This is why Einstein, when he's doing the study of theory of relativity, makes the statement, I've come to the conclusion that man is more spiritual than he is physical. Jesus said, but he shall have the light of life. So here's the question. Could it be that light came to life so that life could go to light? Why is it that there are so many near-death experiences or people who have gone on, if you will, and then they've been brought back? And one of the most reoccurring themes of all those individuals is, I saw a bright light. Saul of Tarsus, upon his conversion, when he's on the road to Damascus, he witnesses and he testifies. And you know what he says? I saw a light brighter than the sun. Here's what Revelation says about the end. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that there are therein, that there should be time no longer. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. What do you think the Apostle Paul could equate the speed of light with? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the Bible tells us that the wicked ones will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. I offer this for your consideration. Could it be that light came to life so that life could go to light? You see, they speculate. Postulate that a tardion can. We as human beings could eventually become luminaries. We could become particles of light, but it would take relieving us of our mass. We would have to give up this earthly body. Was it, do you think, that Jesus could walk into a locked room where all the disciples sat? Apostle Paul said there's an earthly body and there's a heavenly body. Science shows us, science reveals that there is something that awaits each and every one of us. It is no wonder why when Jesus would talk about eternal damnation, he would reference it with what? Outer darkness. And I could go on for so long. I told you. 2 years ago, April 2016, you can go home and look this up on the internet. You'll see it. Northwestern University, here in Illinois. Scientists were astounded by what they witnessed at the point of conception. Go home, look this up. You'll see news reports. They'll show you. You can see video. They have video of this happening. At the moment of conception, when the sperm cell unites with the egg cell, at that very moment, they can witness it. It's observable. There is a flash of light. Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So is it possible that there is in all of us eternity? And that one of these days, for this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. What are you talking about? I'm talking about where time does not exist, where past, present, and future are all the same. I realize we can't truly in our finite minds understand eternity. I realize we live on a linear plane and we can't get it all and understand it all. But can we just take back the curtain a little bit and see that maybe science itself can show us for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal maybe the rapture will be at the speed of light. This mass, this mortal, this matter will be that other side of the equation. This MC squared. This mass will accelerate at twice the speed of light and become light. I'm not trying to explain to you what the afterlife is. I don't know. I couldn't understand it if it was shown to me. The Apostle Paul was cut up in the third heaven. Heard things that were unutterable by man. I don't know what the third heaven is. He couldn't even tell what was uttered. It's so far beyond. But oh, we can see and we can study, and science can even show us now. And I go back to what I said a few weeks ago. We're the ignorant ones for believing the Bible. And we're the ignorant ones because we believe that there is a hereafter. We're the ignorant ones because we believe an eternal God who exists outside of time, who is not held by time. This God who is light, where past, present, and future exist all as one, who knows the end from the beginning. Oh, but it just blew my mind. But what it's doing, it's making me so solid in my continued belief in the Word of God and in God Himself. Can't explain it all. I don't even talk all that well about tardions and tachyons. I probably didn't even pronounce them right. What I'm trying to show you is that science itself makes these things, which people would say, oh, that's, you believe in all that crazy stuff? Yeah, I kind of do. Come to find out, the more they find out and the more that is revealed to them, the more it solidifies what I believe. The more I can take it to the bank, the more I can understand that one of these days, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to go in the rapture, but I don't know if I'm going to be in the grave and I'm going to be caught up. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know all the things that exist in the spirit realm. I do believe there exists outside. I know it's hard. I know you think, man, Pastor has lost his marbles. If I wasn't able to back it up with Scripture, then he might have an argument. I think the Bible shows us on the other side of this temporal life, there is what the Bible calls life eternal. Past, present, and future no longer exist, where time, the Bible says, is no longer. It's observable. And they say that right now, a particle of light traveling at the speed of light, there is no such thing as time. In closing, you can stand your feet. The more I study this, the more I read and parallel with the Bible, the more I am astounded. What about this? The psalmist says, when I consider the heaven, works of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. I realize that all of them, in Bible times, the only thing they really had to associate light with was fire. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have LEDs. They didn't have fluorescents. They didn't have CFLs. They didn't have all these things that we have today that emit light. But when you think about it, the psalmist is looking into what he can, by his own imagination, if you will, or estimation, see as light. Sun, the moon. You know the moon would be a reflection of sunlight. The stars, symbols of light. It's no wonder that early man, ignorance and trying to find and trying to worship a deity, would often worship the sun or the moon or the stars. Find jewels and believe that they would come down from heaven. They would find emeralds and believe that they were particles of deity that would come to earth. Read it. Do your history. A lot of it had to do with the way the light reflected from this. We've heard from the beginning. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. One of these days, I'm going to be transformed into the image. The Bible says that Jesus was the brightness of His glory and the express image of his person. I could go so far into this with Jesus talking about how he was the light, but just suffice it to say, the Bible says, walk as children of light. Saying, walk as though you're walking towards eternity. I'm walking towards the light. Oh, take my hand and lead me to the light. That's what we all want when it's all done. Oh, I just want the angel to come and take me. Let me walk to the light. Well, walk to the light right now. It's a journey right now that each and every one of us, obviously the culmination is, so shall you ever be with the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful. Your word astounds me, God. I marvel in your majesty, God. To see, God, to understand, Lord, I shake my head in confusion at those many physicists and scientists that can see this and observe this, and yet they still wonder and they still try to find an origin outside of you. God, I'm so thankful that I can start with an objective truth that you created it all, that you are God who is light, God. Help me to further understand, Lord, and to worship you in the beauty of it, God, to realize how marvelous are your works, God. Your ways so wonderful. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' precious name.